Good morning. Today is day before. The day before the 4th.
Yes.
That makes it the 2nd.
Oh, 2nd. That's right.
Yeah. Darn it. You got an extra finger up.
I did.
Just
for a second, I was thinking, man.
For me.
Only because tomorrow's a holiday
yeah.
for the county, so I'm not going to be at work tomorrow.
Hopefully you won't be at work tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll be working from home, but I won't be physically at work, which would be nice.
Winston and I realized I pulled out the pencil lead, brought the pen in, took the pen lead out, but forgot to put it inside the... Yeah, thanks.
There you go.
All right. Now all those... Up. Probing questions can be done.
That's right. Thank you, Brian.
Billy Hansel's alongside. Winston, you want to make us feel really stupid this morning?
Well, since me and quite a few others are going to be working tomorrow, where do we get the word salary from?
It doesn't sound like it's Greek or anything like that.
So no, you're in the ballpark there, actually.
Is it Greek or Latin or Italian or something like that? If in the ballpark, it's at least got to be in the Mediterranean.
There you go.
Indentured servitude. I don't know
what
the definition is.
It's from the Romans. The word literally means salt money. The Roman soldier was once given an allowance of salt. Then he was given an allowance of money for the purchase of salt. This was called a salarium meaning salt.
Yeah.
Well, I know salt used to be, big salt and pepper, right? We throw it all over the place.
Right.
Marco Polo made it, cut his teeth on that one, and you throw in a couple of other spices and
right.
you spice merchant, right?
There you go.
I guess in the old days.
Right.
So, been keeping busy?
Yes. Sheriff's Office, Office of Emergency Services, COVID, yes.
Yeah. Oh, all I thought you were going to say code name.
Yeah, no, not COVID.
Crazy crew.
Yes, but yeah, the chaos continues, absolutely.
Oh.
So never a dull moment.
Do you take exception? I've mentioned this once on the air. I take exception when they talk about California's is big and it's exploding and it's hot. And I finally was motivated enough to look at the county-by-county breakout. San Bernardino County, L.A. County, and a couple border counties.
Imperial
and
County.
And it's like, okay, guys. Yeah. Now, you figure out what's in common in those four counties, and we don't need to speculate. But come on. It's not California. It's L.A. It's Southern California. It's not all of California, but yet it's being projected out throughout the country. Kind of like with New York. New York is seen to... No, it's not. It's New York City.
Right.
Yeah, come on. A little truth in presentation, so to speak. Does that rankle you at all,
or
is it just me?
Absolutely. We see the information... games that are being played, right? And so we know that, like, Imperial County, let's go right on the border, Mexico, Southern California, they didn't put any restrictions in place, and now they're feeling there's widespread COVID throughout their community. Hospitalizations are overrun, their ICUs are overrun, so they're pushing patients out. So that is a county that we have to pay attention to, and that services are being poured in there. But the other counties, hospitalizations are up, COVID, there are places that are getting more and more people testing positive. But the reality is that we will be getting people will be getting positive throughout our county and our nation. And it's going to be like this for a while until, there is a vaccine or this runs its course, so to speak.
So does it also then bring into question for you the reports out of Florida now, out of Texas, out of some of these other places that they're trying to, the media is trying to whip up a fervor about, or are those more accurately being presented?
You have pockets. You have pockets of these areas, right? And then they want to blame one thing or another, right? They want to blame the beaches. They want to blame the bars. They want to blame, gatherings, churches, those kind of things. But I think, Dr. Frankovich said it the best the other day. It's like people are starving for attention. They're missing their groups and their connections.
Oh, social connections.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's like, And we still legally can't get together with other groups outside our household right now, is what the state has said. And so, but we know people are going to backyard barbecues, they're going to different places because they miss seeing their friends, they miss having those social interactions. And so that is what's going to continue to spread, COVID throughout our nation. And I don't think there's any way to prevent that from happening. So...
when I hear what's going on with California and the reportings and the governor doing his commentary.
Right.
I don't know why I'm trying to be nice. I mean, it's not like he's going to ever hear this show.
You never know.
Yeah, okay, fine. So, yes. Well, yeah, that website thing just kind of screws things up occasionally. But when you hear, like, Florida closing the bars and shutting down restaurants, it's like, Manischewitz, if he's looking to...
It's already happening.
...position himself for the run in 4 years, you know, this is an easy way to get out in front and say, look how much I cared about you rather than the economy. Is there any feedback, any pushing coming towards our end of the state that says, you know, guys... You need to start thinking about this stuff, or is it?
So we already thinking about it because he's already made it very clear. He shut down restaurants and bars, movie theaters, churches, even those kind of things. I think everything has to go to an out. It's 19 now.
It's 19. Yeah, that's right. I heard this morning.
So yeah. So 19 counties now can only have outdoor kind of activities. So that is, you know, concerning. But. Our numbers dictate right now that we're under that. And so we're under those state thresholds that are going to mandate kind of some kind of a pullback on that.
Yeah, I keep thinking of land use plans.
Right.
Okay, every community's got their own land use plan. But if somebody doesn't like it, they can appeal to the state, and the state comes in and trumps.
Right.
It's like, you know, the template has been put in play for that kind of thing to happen. And that's what I fear. You know, just as we're starting to see glimmers of economic normalcy,
right,
or getting close enough so that you can brag how little you're off, boom.
Right.
And now we're back in the same boat, and we're all looking for government bailouts. I can see it coming. It's kind of like a train coming down the track, and I'm hoping I'm looking at the wrong train.
Well, yeah. You know, we don't see, you know, there's a whole lot of positivity coming, you know, in the next, you know, couple weeks to a month, you know.
But maintenance is still kind of positive for most.
Right.
So put some super glue on the bottom of your feet so you can't dance. KINS News and Information Time, or change your position either. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. Now that you know so much about health.
Oh, yeah. I've become very, very astute to public health.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of transfer that you're able to take from this scenario and play it into the normal OES, earthquake, flood, wind, fire.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that specter's raising its head now.
Right. So, you know, when a normal event, if there's a tsunami coming, if there's an earthquake just happened, if there is a fire, okay, we're preparing for an event that's active, and we are calling in resources, and we are, you know, we're being reactive to the stimulus that's coming in. And so what we're doing...
Oh, a stimulus package, huh? Had to do it, didn't you?
Yes. Hopefully there'll be some money coming down the road here. No, but then when it comes to this kind of public health event, it's like we had to prepare for a coming storm, right? That we are preparing.
Kind of like a tidal wave.
Yes, this tidal wave, when is it going to come? And
right.
So that's the problem. That's why we had to hit the pause button. That's why shelter in place occurred. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of things that we had to get up to speed on that we just didn't have in place, right? And so our robust testing, our alternate care sites so we can, you know, handle the overflow from the hospitals.
Was there an overflow? Or was there was a concern of the overflow?
No, the idea was that, you know, they did a survey of all the hospital beds, all our ICU beds. The doctors and the hospitals did a great job expanding within their existing spaces, trying to get more, you know, bang for their buck, so to speak, within the facilities. And so they did a great job. But then you still did the numbers and said, once people are, you know, they're no longer an emergency care issue, they just need to rehabilitate somewhere, we have to find a place for them to rehabilitate, take them out of the hospital to create those acute beds for those coming, you know, patients. And so we had to expand that. And so they figured 100 beds. So that's where we went to Redwood Acres. And then
so it was just kind of a number?
Yes.
Worst case scenario number?
Worst case scenario. Prepare for the worst case. And that's what we did. And so, you know, so we have that set up in case there is that.
Isn't it intriguing, though, that we didn't know how many beds there are? We know how many rooms there are in the hotels.
Right.
That there was no understanding what the capacity was. So if there was, let's say, a major, the earthquake, right, where people are hurt and that stuff,
right,
didn't know what the carrying capacity was for medical treatment in the county. I mean, I'm sure some of those discoveries are kind of cool. Okay, you lock that one away, and so that you have that as a reference down the road.
So we do. I mean, we get an idea, right? But there's always, it's just like a school, right? There's capacities for schools, but when you start looking at the total space and the cafeteria and all these other spaces, you can always expand a little bit more. You know, this program you have, a rehabilitation program, or some of those things, you're going to shut those down during these events of emergency. You're going to focus on responding to the emergency. And so those are the kind of things that they've done. They've done those surveys. And so we have an idea of how, what the capacities are.
Did you guys make the call about the elective medical services?
Or was that
somewhere else?
That was for the medical community. I believe
that was a self-imposed thing.
That was, I think, based upon a lot of different factors. They made that decision.
So I was able to sneak in as basically, you know,
right.
It was a significant enough event that I was able to fly in.
Right.
But with a lot of folks that have been waiting,
waiting
and waiting, you know, their situation is probably just as disruptive as what mine was.
Right.
But because it was deemed different, I was able to go in. I asked the troops, and this was the tail end of April,
okay,
so a little while ago. They were doing 20% of what their capacity was.
Right. And so talk about, you know, the effect on business and hospitals,
and
right?
Ripple,
that's where we make the money, right?
And all the vendors and,
right,
you know, and people, too. And I know that there have been some attempts for some of the financial support of the business impacts. But what is the running total right now? I mean, I could probably add another 5 digits onto what I had done a couple months ago because of, you know, what the impacts are, either lack of ads being placed or people wanting to participate just because of their fears or concerns.
Right.
What's the number at?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how many tens of millions of dollars it is now. But it is, obviously, it has made an initial impact. And I think we're seeing now, too, you know, a lot of people switched to online shopping and they did a whole bunch of those things.
Which really compounds the challenge.
It does. And so I think we saw initially once things, restaurants and businesses started opening up, that first week, you know, barbershops, there was a flood, you know, and people started going in there. And now there's kind of like a pullback here. You don't see a lot of people get out and shop and get out and do those things that we need to stimulate our economy.
Well, I think we had the pent-up demand.
Yeah.
Okay. And now there's fear again.
Right.
Or risk avoidance might be a better way to say it. It may not be fear, but it's, you know, do I have to?
Right.
And before it was, let's go. Do we have to?
Yeah, do we have to? Right. Yeah. Yeah. The leisure shopping, the window shopping. Yeah. It's
well,
only.
And the restaurants.
And the restaurants, too.
You know, neither of us have gone through a real economic depression. I know that they say 08 was, but it didn't. But you talk about, you know, how buying patterns change. I've seen a ton of stuff that talks about consumer buying habits now are, they've shifted. It's not a change, it's a shift. And it's, people are reevaluating a ton of stuff.
And
you look at what the future might be,
right,
particularly for an area that isn't growing like ours isn't.
Right.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it's true. Very true. Yeah.
So, you know, so far we've managed to avoid staying away from the budget, too.
Well, that's
good. Half the show thus far.
It's July 2nd. Trying to do what I can here.
Dang it. Keep your focus.
Thank you.
Away from some of those types of challenges. But obviously there are challenges for businesses all over the place.
Yep. But it was, the county, right?
It was nice to see 5 million jobs the last reporting cycle.
It was. It's really, really good.
It's
yep.
starting
it's promising.
To happen. Yeah. It's also 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. 4th of July, normally we're talking about all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
This one, festivals, I guess you'll be able to see fireworks from the house, and they don't, from what Merritt was saying on Tuesday, the city manager of Fortuna.
Yeah.
They don't want to see Pabstines there because we are not Fortunans. Okay. I mean, that's
right.
Cool.
That's right.
That's
a shelter in place.
At least I know
show.
Where I stand with them.
Yeah, exactly.
But very limited. Yeah, you don't have to worry about Old Town. You don't have to worry about Arcata. Is it going to be a more free or liberating weekend for your guys? And you just kind of. Making sure people aren't being stupid and driving fast?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be, if anything, I think we're going to see more calls for service because, again, people are going to just be pent up in their houses. They're going to be in their backyards. They're going to be, you know, hanging out locally.
But a different mix.
It's going to be a different mix, right. We're not going to be responding to big crowds, those kind of things. We're not going to be, again, the festivals. You don't have to worry about those kind of events. But again, it's the individual events, you know, the domestic violence calls and the disturbance calls that, you know, really are potential danger to us and to the community. It's like, you know, and after people start drinking all day and doing their thing, it's like it always... And then, then you mix fireworks with it. It just always becomes a very, you know.
It's interesting for me. I don't understand, you know, but I'm somewhat jealous. You know, the guys that have mixed drink cocktails. Yeah, okay, I have maybe 5 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The stereotypical, right, you just say, you know, drinking beer, you know.
Right.
You know, after a beer, one beer, it kind of loses its taste for me, so I don't do that. You know, right. I just... Now, if it was soda pop, yeah, okay, fine, but you don't do that anymore.
Right,
you know, it's like,
right.
What are these all-American events that lead up to you guys paying calls on people? It's got to be a little disruptive to, well, you grew up as a cop, so that doesn't count, but for people that kind of cross from one career that the household had into law enforcement, kind of scratching your head and going, really, you did what?
Right.
How long does it take before you normalize that? Or can you?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, often with the law enforcement, I mean, we're seeing people at their worst moments all the time. And so it's hard to as law enforcement officers to tell what is normal out there because we don't go to normal family calls.
Or even
right?
that it's possible.
Right.
Perhaps. Maybe not normalized, but that it's a possible.
And that's why I encourage our deputies to say, listen, keep your friends, you know, outside of the department as well, because, you know, you have to know that there's actually normal people out there and that can have a family barbecue without, you know, having a disturbance or excessive drinking. Or
without gunfire.
Without gunfire. Yeah. And then mixing, you know, again, alcohol with bottle rockets and that kind of stuff. I mean, what could go wrong, right? So. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I bet you guys have great stories.
Absolutely.
You know, at the family
There's
gatherings,
always.
I bet you can still blow your dad away with some of the stories that are happening now versus when he was active.
Oh, yeah. There's always, it's a different time, but absolutely. We definitely have our stories that we go back and forth when we get together.
What's your biggest concern for this weekend?
My biggest concern is that, you know, that there would be a fire. And so because we believe that people will be buying a whole lot more fireworks, they'll be having their backyard displays, people will be going shopping in other states where the aerial fireworks are.
Oh, come on, you mean Nevada and Washington?
Well.
Come on. It's no secret.
Maybe even as far as New Mexico, you know, I don't know.
Oh, does New Mexico have open also?
Oh, yeah. So there's...
Oh. That's a long drive.
Well, I'm just saying. You have, I'm sure that there are people that have made those trips for other people, and there's brokering going on right now, you know, for aerial displays, you know, in backyards. So,
well, we've heard some of the big thumpers
already. Absolutely, we're doing it. Yeah, so in Fortuna as well. So it's just we're seeing it already, and I just ask people again, just pay respect to your neighbors. Make sure you talk to them about what's going on. And, you know, also think about, too, fire protection, defensible space around your house. If you haven't already done so, please create that defensible space. Clean out your gutters, your roof, to make sure there's no debris on your roof, as well as the animals. The animals this time of year, they go crazy. They run away. They break things down. Please secure your animals. And then also, if you're going to have fireworks and you know your neighbors do have animals, just make sure you talk to them about that, so they're aware of it, so everyone's prepared.
And little ones,
yeah.
You know, if you're paying attention, you know.
Ear protectors.
Well, you think about it, you know, we now kind of sort of know what's going on and what to anticipate with fireworks and firecrackers and stuff. Mm-hmm. You imagine if you're dropped in and you have no clue?
Yes, exactly.
And now what's going on all around, you wonder what in the world, you know,
yeah.
What level of Dante's hell am I in?
Right.
And that's where a lot of the animals are, too,
yep,
right?
They for don't sure.
know.
They
and understand. Just panic-driven and
yep.
run.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because fighting those things, I've found, is not really beneficial.
No.
Yeah. 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 You don't want to jump on a firecracker.
No, you don't.
No. KINS yep. News and Information Time. It's 8:41.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. So are you seeing any changes in this, I guess, 3 months, right? Mid-March, basically. April, May, June. And a half months in the drug, in the bad guy activity. Is there a shift? I mean, there were more people at home, so I would think that break-ins would be a little bit less.
Right.
But staying at home
is
a little different dynamic, and you start getting pressures because of that change.
Well, we had, but also we were telling our deputies to stop being proactive, essentially, because, again, when, you know, we didn't know initially what the COVID spread was going to be and those kind of things. So we were a reactive department. And so we've now this last month in June, late May, we just said, listen, we're ahead of the COVID curve. Let's go ahead and let's get our productivity back up. And so our deputies are out there, and they are back busting, you know, these drug
chops.
Houses. And
no, okay.
And so
how about spare ribs?
People over? Yeah, no.
Yeah, but we're busting spare ribs. Nobody would know what you talk about except the staff.
Right. So then, you know, it was so it's. We see that there is criminal activity back up. Drugs are being still pushed in the community. There are still thefts that are occurring, and so people can't let their guard down. So make sure that you still lock your doors. People are still prowling around looking for opportunities to steal from others, and so.
Well, that's norm.
Yeah.
Are you getting much pushback about police violence, or what are you doing not to?
Oh, absolutely. We're getting inundated.
At a heightened level?
Yeah, we're getting inundated with that kind of stuff. And then, you know, people are very coordinated in trying to, you know, I guess, capitalize on this kind of agenda that's going on across the United States. You know, defund the police, you know, look at our practices. You know, there was a big campaign about, you know, redoing the use of force policies and how force is administered by law enforcement. There was a campaign that was trying to be pushed throughout the United States and with direct messages to each law enforcement agency. You got on the website and you know, messaged them. So we got hundreds of emails saying, you need to change your policies. In reality,
local people?
they could have been in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
So it's like you were on a website and you were able to do this. But there were some local people also reached out and said, where are you on this? Because, again, they don't know.
That's fair.
They're listening, right? Exactly. They don't know and they don't see our policies. And so it was important for us to say, hey, all those things, those eight things that people say that we aren't doing, okay, we actually are doing, you know it. And so we are the most, like, you know, California, I believe, is the most innovative law enforcement agency. And post, you know, police officer standard and training has regulated us, and the state has regulated us to lead the nation with use of force and the justification for using force. And so our training.
When you say lead.
Leading in as far as the training goes and how we deal with it and you know, what's reasonable, what's necessary, you know, and we're doing everything we can so we don't have to use force. But when we do, it's justified under the law and it's the amount of force that's reasonably necessary at that time. And so anything else, there's mechanisms, you know, again, to, again, charge an officer if they use excessive force.
You know, I would think that you guys, and maybe this is Pollyanna, but you'd eat your own.
Yes.
If somebody was a goofball, nobody wants to be tarred and feathered with that, and they're going
to. Well, they're required to.
Get them squared up
exactly.
And then report them and,
yes.
And you know, get more aggressive if need be.
Each deputy has a duty. It's part of our policy that they have to turn in people that use excessive force. If they don't, then they could be disciplined. And so that does happen, that people do let us know. And so we do investigate. We're mandated to investigate and to discipline people that do use excessive force. And, again, we have some of the most stringent hiring standards to make sure that we only hire the right people. But occasionally the bad eggs do get through, and we have to be able to get rid of those when we do have one. But
do you do psych tests like every 3 years, every 5 years, so that if something happens to somebody, whether it's experiences or an outside pressure, that you pick up on it?
So we do not do psych tests, you know, randomly or every year. If they are involved in a critical incident, we steer them towards a psychologist. They're mandated to go see a psychologist.
But the drip, not
right.
Yet.
We don't have that mechanism yet. So, but it's something that we are looking at. You know, a counseling team coming in every year is what we're looking at to do like an evaluation, just a check-in, which I think would be good, you know, for all of us, because this job does take it out of people. This is a very difficult job, and it's not just, again, a job. This is a profession that requires a whole lot of training and the right person to do this job. And I'm thankful that we have deputies that are actually doing this every day and doing an outstanding job. Enough
said? Well, I guess, yeah. Good timing, by the way. Have a safe third, fourth, and fifth.
Absolutely.
Okay,
thanks,
all
Brian.
Right.
You
see,
too.
See everybody tomorrow.